Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Dan Burke talks with Father Timothy Gallagher about the Examine Prayer. It's a great way to stay on track this Advent. Also, Elena Rodriguez talks with co-founder of Aim Higher Recordings, Monica Fitzgibbons. They're going to bring you a feast for your ears. It's the album Christmas in Harvard Square with the Boys of St. Paul's Choir School. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register, and our producer, Elena Rodriguez. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest on today's program, Father Timothy Gallagher, was ordained in 1979 as a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. Father Gallagher is the author of 7 books on the spiritual teaching of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He'll be talking with Dan about the Examine Prayer, a great way to stay focused this Advent.
Father, it's great to have you with us again. There's so many important themes, and you've written a wonderful book that I think is one of the most powerful secrets of the saints to helping us to stay on track, and that is on the Examine Prayer. Of course, your book is available at EWTN Religious Catalog, and it's entitled The Examine Prayer. I'd be grateful if you could walk our listeners through this in a way where they might be able to begin to adopt this, you know, during this season and beyond to help them stay on track spiritually.
Well, the Examine Prayer, as we call it, is simply the classic examination of conscience, retaining everything that the examination of conscience has as a prayer in our Catholic spiritual tradition, and adding another richness into it as well. The richness of attention to the spiritual experience of the day, and that is obviously above all where God has been present and leading in the course of the day, and also where the evil one, where the tempter has attempted to discourage us and lead us away from where the Lord would want us to be in our lives. Praying the Examine Prayer, which concretely might take, depending on the time a person has, 7, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that, in the course of the day, is the difference between simply going along because life is unrolling, the difference between that and a reflective, conscious awareness of where God is in the experience of each day. And that makes all the difference.
A reflective, conscious awareness, because, as we all know, we can get off track. So this is a way that we can really day by day, say starting today, of determining how we want to orient our hearts to Christ, whether it be praying through the Magnificat or participating in the Liturgy of the Hours, or whatever our commitments we make. But then the Examine helps us at the end of the day to look back and say, are we on or off track? And if we're not on track, we can get back on track for the next day with commitments. So why don't you walk us through the structure of the Examine so that folks understand a little bit of how that works?
Well, we would begin in the way that St. Ignatius always invites us to begin times of prayer, by looking briefly for a moment at the love of the Lord that awaits us when we come to prayer, so that immediately this is relationship. It's two persons in communion, the human person and the divine, and it's not simply the introspection of a person who's trying to get a handle on experience, which is a good thing, but that's not prayer. And this is exquisitely prayer. It's communion. It's being with the one who loves us. And once our hearts are aware that we're in that presence, Ignatius has 5 simple steps, and they just really flow. This is what happens when you review spiritual experience. Firstly, just to see the main thing in every day, and that is how the God who is love very concretely has loved me this day in this meeting with this person, or that task that worked out, or this time of prayer that was fruitful, or in that struggle that didn't discourage me as much as it might have discouraged me other times, and so on, that God is endlessly giving. And just to see that, even if we went no further in the Examine already, it's something I've become grateful for in my own experience, because it lifts your heart to see that as you look back over the day. Then to ask God's help, I call that petition, to ask God's help to see clearly in the spiritual experience of the day. And then the third step, which is the review of that spiritual experience. So we are looking, as in the classic examination of conscience, for places where we have failed to live in the way that God has wanted, or any sinfulness that may have been there. But we're looking not only at that, but also to see where the Lord has been leading or would have led in the day, and also where the tempter would have wanted to discourage us. And as I said earlier, Dan, that makes such an enormous difference, because if day by day we're getting more light on this, we are able to follow God increasingly clearly day by day as the spiritual life unfolds. And then fourthly, we ask God's forgiveness for anything that we may have seen that would not have been the way the Lord would have wanted. We ask his pardon and forgiveness and healing. And then finally, having seen all that, we look with the Lord to the next day. We call that renewal, and see already what glimpses we can get of how God wants us to live the next day. So that the examined prayer is the prayer that keeps the spiritual life solidly with grace and on track.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're here with Father Timothy Gallagher of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary in the Culture of Life section of Register Radio today, talking about the examined prayer, how we can help keep our hearts better on track. A very powerful tool. Father has written one of the most accessible books. It's called The Examined Prayer. That's available at EWTN Religious Catalog on this topic. Father, you're very transparent in your book about some of the difficulties in practicing this prayer. Can you give us tips that you've learned living out this prayer better, bringing it into a rhythm on a day-to-day basis that might be helpful to folks?
All of us find it hard to stop, to not be busy and occupied, and then simply to look at what's going on within us. There's no shame in that. That's just human. It's like if the dentist is tapping along the teeth and there's the point where there's the twinge, you'd like him to keep going, you know? But the healthiest thing he can do and the most healing thing that he can do is to stop and take a look at that and then see what healing is necessary. So I think that's the deepest reason why we tend to shy away from this kind of prayer. It's also the reason why Ignatius doesn't have a start right there with the things that may be less than we would want them to be or God would want them to be. But he has a start by looking at the most beautiful and important thing in every day, and that is just the way that God has concretely just endlessly loved and loved and loved us. When we know we're loved, then we can look at anything. Having said that, then the question is to get a little concrete and structured about it, to choose a time. It may have to be flexible if our schedules are changing in the days of a week, but to concretely look to choose a time, so I'd say start with whatever number of minutes we can. If 5 is all we have, that would be a wonderful way to start. And you take a step with the Spirit, and the Spirit will lead along that path. If we have 10 minutes, great. And then with a simple guide like these, the simple outline of the steps, and I really think it helps to learn a little bit more about the prayer, which is the reason for writing the book or doing the show on it with EWTN or all the different materials, so that we feel equipped, and then we're underway. And if it's possible to share that journey with others, if we have spiritual guidance or just friends in the Lord, any way we can do that, that is enormously strengthening along that journey.
So the basic steps, just to repeat them, after the opening, kind of a book ended by the opening and closing prayer, are gratitude, which where we bring to mind the graces that God has given us during the day, petition, to ask for wisdom for how we responded to that interaction with the Lord during the day, a review, forgiveness, and renewal. Did I get that right? I don't have your book in front of me, but I think that's the right, those are the
right
steps.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Well, Father, in particular, what do you think folks will struggle with most as they attempt to implement this prayer?
Well, I think the two things that I've mentioned. The first is just formation in it. It's just getting to know that it exists, that it's so deeply rooted in our Catholic spiritual tradition, how to pray it, as you just mentioned, Dan, what the steps are and what they mean, so that we get a good flexible understanding of it. Just as, for example, if a person wants to grow in the fruitfulness of attending at Mass, the more the person learns about the Mass, the more richly the person is going to be able to enter into its meaning in its various parts. So I'd say the first thing is formation in the examined prayer, just learning more about it. And then the second thing is what I call in one of the books I've written, the courage to be spiritually aware, the willingness to actually stop and to look at things and to find out that it's not as daunting as we feared, and to find out that what we discover far more than limitation on our part is the infinite, personal, faithful love with which we are loved every day. I'll just say it personally. This first step of the examine was the first step that really, I would say, opened up for me. I found it made such a difference that, you know how we can get to the end of a day sometimes and we have kind of a gray feeling about the day, like this whole day has been a little bit burdened or difficult. But then you stop and you actually look back over the day to see the way the Lord has been present and has loved in such concrete ways. It lifts your heart as the day ends. And that's what happens as we pray the examined prayer, so that it really is extremely, extraordinarily fruitful to have that simple courage to be spiritually aware, because it opens up so much. So those are the two things I'd suggest, Dan.
And just to reiterate, I think you're right. It is very powerful to begin with this idea of gratitude, because so often, especially those who are type A personalities like me, we're always looking to fix what's broken. We're quick to identify where the problem areas are. And so we don't often spend enough time just seeing the good and acknowledging the good in a concrete way, and then thanking God for that good, which, of course, fosters a spirit of gratitude within us. Well, Father Gallagher, you are a great gift to the church, and I have to say to our listeners that you will find few authors better prepared to provide authentic Catholic spirituality, whether it be through the Examine Prayer or Living the Discerning Life series with EWTN, Discernment of Spirits, which is a fantastic work. So we're grateful that you could take a few minutes to be with us here on Register Radio today. And we'll have links up on our website for those who are interested in your books. And please keep us in your prayers. And thank you again for all you do for the church.
Thank you so much, Dan.
When we return, we're going to hear some great music, so don't go away. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Only one newspaper can deliver in-depth news coverage to millions of Catholics around the globe, offer a Catholic perspective to world events, and bring you inspiring stories and articles of faith and courage. Only one newspaper has insightful, award-winning journalism that continues Mother Angelica's dream of providing Catholic news true to the teachings of the Church. The National Catholic Register, the source for commentary and opinion on the most important political, economic, and social issues facing Catholics today. The world needs the truth. Now you can be part of it by donating to the National Catholic Register. Help us continue our mission. You can make a difference with a donation, large or small, to close the funding gap we're faced with. Go to ncregister.com/donate or mail your donation to the National Catholic Register at P.O. Box 100699, Irondale, Alabama 35210. With your help, our voice remains strong. Without it...
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Elena Rodriguez and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, music industry veteran Monica Fitzgibbons, along with her husband Kevin, co-founded Aim Higher Media in 2007. Aim Higher is designed to showcase artistic achievements that seek to elevate our culture in going beyond ordinary limits. Monica has experienced chart-topping success with music projects her companies have released, including albums from the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and their newest album from the Boys of the St. Paul's Choir School, all dedicated to truth and beauty. Elena?
Monica, it is great to have you back here on Register Radio with us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Elena.
Monica, this is a beautiful, beautiful CD, Christmas in Harvard Square by the St. Paul's Choir School. I have to ask you about the history of the school. This is just amazing. It's the only Catholic boys school choir in the United States, and they just recently now recorded their first album after a 50-year choir history. Why now?
Well, you know, Elena, you're absolutely right, and thank you for noticing the beauty of this recording, because it's such a joy to be able to work with this. But yes, they're celebrating their 50th year of being a choir school. Why now? Well, there's the providential aspect of why now, but on the practical order, it basically, you know, when I was in college, I went to school in Boston at Boston University, and I would go over and hear the boys choir sing at St. Paul's, and that would be sort of my, you know, ritual every year at Christmas. And I had always loved and enjoyed the boys choir tradition. So cut to my husband being in Boston last year for a conference, and he had planned, because he'd heard so much about St. Paul's, to go over there, but he walked into a mass at the cathedral that Cardinal Sean O'Malley was presiding over, and there was this beautiful boys choir. So he took a little snippet on his cell phone, and he emailed it to me. And after Mass, of course.
Clarification, after Mass. Folks, don't be texting during Mass.
Oh, no texting. We do not endorse. So he sent it to me, and, I mean, I just could tell right away that there was a whole another level of singing going on than even when I had listened to them. Mm. So we contacted Mr. John Robinson, the brilliant music director there, and we started to find out that he was from the UK and that he had trained the boys in this very specific tradition that he had come up in. Then we went there and we listened to them just to make sure that it wasn't a fluke. They were amazing, and the way they incorporate them into the liturgy and the whole Harvard situation there, that community there, just brilliant and breathtaking. And so here we have Colin Lapis on the phone, and you'll hear when you talk with him what we also observed, which is that, you know, these boys are very comfortable in their own skin. I'm going to brag about you right now, Colin, right when you're here.
And go right in.
Very mature for their age and very classically trained. So the whole school, the whole parish, the whole community there is really operating in a very uplifting way and, praising our Lord in a very wonderful and extraordinary way. And so how could we resist but try to put out an album and capture this moment in time for the school?
Well, that is really high praise. You're talking about very mature young men and classically trained. Those are two adjectives you normally don't put together when referring to boys in grade school. What role do you think music plays, Monica, in the formation of these young men that they wouldn't otherwise have if they weren't exposed to music at this level?
Well, there's all kinds of research that talks about what classical music, learning how to sight read, and all the theory behind what goes into, whether it's the sight reading or the, you know, composition, what that does for the formation of the intellectual and just the formative brain positivity that can bring. So there's that, but then there's also this beautiful spirituality in that, you know, they're training for this, and then sort of go time is Mass. So they are at the noon Masses and the weekend Masses, and I can't tell you how many people since we started this project have said, you know, I went to Mass for the first time in 5 years, and I was so amazed by the sights and the sounds and everything that was going on there. Hmm. I was just, you know, really recalling heaven almost.
That is lovely. Now, we want to bring on Colin Lapis. He is in the sixth grade at St. Paul's Choir School. 11 years old, is that right, Colin?
Yes, that's correct.
How is class different from other schools? Because you also have been at other schools.
Yeah, the academic classes are all very, there's rigorous academics. It's all a much higher level than all other schools.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take a test to get into the school, which makes it, even it's just a very high standard for the school. And music relates because, like, math, music relates and all this stuff. But randomly in class, you know, sometimes somebody will break out into song.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
It's a very musical community, but at the same time, the academics are a very important part, and class is completely different than any other school.
So most children, when they misbehave at home, their parents send them to their room to do math homework. So in your case, do your parents send you to your room to sing out loud?
No, they don't. Not that I usually get in trouble, but
please clarify that, of course.
But I usually, when I go to my room, I sing, I don't know, but the singing definitely changes my personality and changes my lifestyle, I guess you could say.
Of course. How did your parents come to find out about the school and enroll you there as a student?
Yeah, so my cousin had came here, I think 5 years before I came here. And he had come here, and I came to hear him sing, I think, in the first year that he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just been interested in the choir, and I was pretty young back then, but I kept trying to think about it. And I was living in Virginia at the time, actually. And in the third grade, I had heard that the choir school was opening up a fourth grade because they had never had a fourth grade before. And so I thought that it'd be good to come up here, so my parents talked about it for a while, and we decided to move up here to Boston, and then I had an audition with Mr. Robinson, and I took an academic test to get in, as I said before, And now I've been here ever since, since fourth grade.
What a wonderful story. So your parents actually moved to Virginia so you could attend the school.
Yes, they did.
They moved the whole family.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like they love you very much, Colin.
Yeah.
We're here on Register Radio, coming to you on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, speaking with Monica Fitzgibbons, co-producer of the album Christmas in Harvard Square by the boys of the St. Paul's Choir School. And we're also speaking to that young, brave voice, young man by the name of Colin Lapis in the sixth grade at St. Paul's Choir School, with a beautiful, beautiful speaking voice. But just wait until you hear his beautiful singing voice.
Three kings brought him presents, gold and frankincense, to my son, Lord of Might, King of kings and Lord of Might.
That was Colin Lapis doing the solo on Christmas in Harvard Square, the CD, with the boys from the St. Paul's Choir School, and the song Mater Ora Filium. Colin, before you have choir rehearsal, do you pray?
Yeah, every morning before we start rehearsal, Mr. Robinson has us pray. We usually say either the Hail Mary or the Our Father. It's a great way to start off the day and help us to get closer to God and to get into our singing.
And that shows definitely, Colin, because the CD is just absolutely magnificent and really lifts the soul up to God. And please relay this on behalf of all of us here on EWTN Radio and at the National Catholic Register, our thanks and appreciation to the director, Mr. John Robinson, and to all of the choir members, please. If you'll go ahead and do that when you hang up on the phone with us.
Yep.
Monica, what a wonderful gift to have these young men in formation. What was the favorite moment recording this CD for you, Monica?
Well, I asked the president of Universal Music to come and hear the boys, and we walked in right when they started recording O Magnum Mysterium, which I know is one of Colin's favorite songs. And
O Magnum Mysterium. I want to take our listeners to this beautiful piece. It just takes you to heaven, doesn't it? It is beautiful. Congratulations, Colin Lapis, and all the boys of the St. Paul's Choir School for this beautiful CD, Christmas in Harvard Square. What was the favorite moment recording this CD for you, Monica?
To see them up in the choir loft and to hear the recording live as it was happening. I mean, it just filled the whole area. And then just for me personally, having gone to school in Boston and you know, all the history of going there, just sort of looking back at one of the pews that I sat in my late teens and these boys singing at such an incredible level. The other thing is I have boys who are their age, and just to see what these boys at St. Paul's Choir School are accomplishing at this, I mean, they're fourth through eighth graders, and they are incredibly gifted, incredibly professional. And they work very hard, but also Mr. John Robinson, you know, he's so good working with them. And then there's just this whole other silent piece of this, which is the community there and the parents. You know, they're very involved and they are very supportive and they're very tight-knit community. I mean, it's everything you would ever hope for.
One quick question before we go, Colin, for you. Did anything funny happen during the recordings that made all of the choir boys laugh?
Yeah, a few times. Well, the first thing is we were recording right here in Harvard Square, and it's a very busy place, pretty noisy. And I think it was maybe our second or third time recording O Come All Ye Faithful, and we had recorded a really, really, really good take of it, and it was maybe the last 15 seconds, and a fire engine went right by, and it all kind of, we all just laughed, and it...
It's such it a was, serious moment, and then all of a sudden it isn't anymore, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Colin Lapis, sixth grade student, 11-year-old young man, very brave to come on the phone with us here on Register Radio. Thank you very much, Colin.
You're
congratulations
welcome.
To you, to your parents,
thank
to
you.
Your choir director, Mr. John Robinson, and all the boys at the St. Paul Choir School. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Monica, it seems like this is going to be a great gift for Christmas. Very easy to send in the mail to relatives or family or loved ones who are far away. What is the purchase process like?
I would say, number one, it's definitely being carried at the EWTN catalog, which is always nice.
That's EWTNRC.com, the website.
Perfect. And then the other links to purchase are on our website, which is aimhigherrecordings.com. You have Amazon. You can order directly from the Boys Choir School, iTunes. So all those links are there, Barnes & Noble, and as we said, don't forget the EWTN catalog.
Very good. God bless you, Monica. Thank you, Colin and Monica, both.
Oh, thank you, Elena.
Thank you.
And God bless your great works, too.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.